Morena e te whānau, nau mai hoki mai ki Māori Millennia. Welcome back to the Māori Millennia podcast. I'm your host, Te Kahukura Boynton. I started this as part of my mission to bridge the wealth gap. I'm not a millennia yet, but I have had a pretty mean transformation, I would say, from once living paycheck to paycheck, hating my life, wasting all my money on things I shouldn't have, to finally building a safety net of pūtea, growing my income, growing my pakihi, and becoming the healthiest version of myself, like literally ever. This podcast is where you'll find the tips and tricks to build better money habits, a stronger mindset, and how to increase your income. If you've been here before, know my hoki mai, and if you are new here, then welcome to the show. I'm so excited for today's podcast episode. If you've ever said yes to giving money when really you wanted to say no, this is the podcast for you. Today we're talking about how to set money boundaries without that guilt trip, without feeling like, I really should give it to them, or like, I really want to, right? I just want to start us off with like validating why it's so hard to say no to money requests. Whether this is like, I have a lot of parents come to me and say like their kids are always asking for loans, their kids are always asking for pūtea, but also like these other people in your life too. Like I've had a few, I'm not actually going to say what kind of relationship they are because I don't want anyone to know, but there's been a few people in my life who have, you know, asked me for money requests, and it's just not been something that is like sustainable. Anyways, why is it so hard? Number one, as Māori, we believe in this like collective responsibility, right? Like we are all in this together and we're all on the same kaupapa, right? And so we don't believe in singular success, singular wealth. And so if someone in our whānau, someone in our, you know, realm is really struggling, like we want to do our best to support that person. And this is like tricky, and we're going to go into it a little bit later, but I just wanted to first like identify why it's actually so hard to say no to these money requests. Number two is a fear of judgment. So not being seen as like whānau first, not being seen as someone who cares about, you know, what other people are up to, right? Or being seen as stingy, being seen as someone who just, you know, doesn't really care. And then the other part of it too is like the guilt versus generosity, right? So you can like have this like overwhelming guilt in you that makes you give pūtea towards something, but it's not actually coming from a place of like, I actually feel like this is going to, I really want to put my money towards this and like I really want to help you out. It's coming from like, I feel like if I don't do this, I'm going to get judged, or if I don't do this, I'm just going to feel so bad for not helping you. And like, I've been there before as well. Just want to like validate the reasons why it's actually hard. But then also, this is actually something I talk about in my pukapuka. There's a difference between generosity and self-sacrifice. And this is really important to just acknowledge, because you can't pour from an empty cup. And so if you're consistently giving to other people from a place of like, you actually don't have the funds to do that, then that's not sustainable. And eventually, when something in your life happens, you're going to have to start asking people for loans, right? Like, I remember a time when I had my emergency fund, and this was back at the start of my journey, and it was $1,000 at that point. And someone I knew had a financial emergency, and I sent them pūtea from my emergency fund. And then I had an emergency pop up in my life. And this is a huge problem, because I didn't give from overflow. I gave from like something that I wasn't in a position to give, right? And then when my emergency happened, I didn't have like someone to like help me with that thing. And so sometimes we, especially with this like collective responsibility thing, sometimes you might believe that. You might believe that we're all on this together, but then when you're struggling, maybe someone's not there to help you out. And so I think it's really important to, as much like as harsh as this can sound, to fill your cup first by being like very, having all these boundaries, filling your cup so that you can give from absolute overflow. Because when you do this, you can actually give so much more. You can be more of a blessing to all of the people around you, to all of your whānau. You can give in so many bigger ways, and more than just pūtea, right? When you learn how to set money boundaries, when you learn how to like fill your cup up, then other people are going to be expanded by this. People in your whānau are going to be like, how are you so good with money? And then you can teach them, you know, like when other people go like, how do you never have to ask people for loans? You can tell them, you can show them. Because when, what I know to be so true is when one person in our whānau does something, everyone else in our whānau can see it and they go, wow. Like, some of them won't, like, they literally won't care. They can still, like, judge you and be like, oh, she, just because she's good with her money or whatever. But some people are going to be like, oh my goodness, like, I want that. And then they're going to, like, ask you, and then they're going to learn from you. And it just has this incredible, like, flow-on effect. So you can't pour from an empty cup, and setting money boundaries allows you to give sustainably, not just emotionally, not just because you feel bad if you don't, not just because you feel guilty. The other perspective shift I wanted to, like, kind of talk about is by saying no to money requests, you're actually calling other people forward. And I want to give you an example. So I didn't even go to a flash high school yet. So many kids at my school, they got given cars from their parents. Like, I don't know how, anyways. I actually do know why. Anyways, I'm not going to go into that. So my mum, she had a car and it was, like, so old and it was probably about to blow up, to be honest. But she ended up getting a new car, and that car, like, she sold it to, like, a junkyard, and, like, they gave her, like, $500, but, like, it still worked. It was just, like, about to not work, basically. Anyways, I wanted that car. I was like, well, I don't have a car, like, everyone else at my school has a car, like, that's not even true, like, some kids had, only the cool kids had cars, right? Anyways, I wanted it, and she said no, and I was like, I was like, 15, no, 16, I would have had my license, 16, and I was just thinking, like, why, like, you have this, like, and I even offered to pay for it. I was like, I'll pay $500 for this, like, you're giving it to a junkyard for $500, I may as well have it for $500, and she said, no, like, if you're gonna buy a car, then you can do that by yourself, you can save up for it yourself, you can figure out how much it costs to do it, you can do all of the things. And I remember being 16, and I was like, this is so, like, why is she doing this? Like, she literally has a car, it's not going to affect her, like, negatively. Like, I would literally give her the money for it. Like, she's going to get the money either way. But what I realized was she was teaching me a lesson. She was teaching me that I needed to, like, yes, I could have gone anywhere and gotten, like, a cheap car for $500. But she wanted to teach me a lesson. And that was that I needed to figure this out by myself. Like, you know, one day our parents aren't going to be there, and there aren't going to be any, like, legs up in life, right? Like, we just got to figure things out. And what I ended up doing was I worked, like, and I have always been a hustler, but I worked, like, so many different jobs, and I saved. And I remember I actually ended up buying a car. I think it was like $1,600 or $1,700, this old car. But I remember valuing it so much, because I remember, like, calculating how many hours at work I had to work in order to save for that first car. And so I really valued it, like, so much more than I would have if I was able to have just gotten that, like, cheap car from my mum. And this called me forward, right? It pushed me. So her money boundary of, like, no, like, I'm not gonna, and it wasn't from a place of, like, I don't want to help you. It was from a place of, like, I know that by helping you, you're not going to learn how to figure this out for yourself. And this is the other thing too that I just wanted to touch on, is, like, this collective responsibility of, like, we're all in this together, right? I actually believe, and, like, this is where you get to practice discernment, right? It depends on the actual situation, because not everyone's situation is the same. But I find that when people have asked me for money, it's often the same people, and it's a consistent pattern where they will always, like, there's this one person in my life who will, like, and they don't do it anymore because I told them to stop doing it, but it would be like, what day is payday? So, like, on a Wednesday, it wouldn't be on a Wednesday, but it would always be kind of like on a Monday or a Tuesday, you know, just getting to that next thing. And it would be like, oh, can I have $20? And I'd be like, what for? And they'd be like, well, I want to go get some McDonald's. Like, I don't have any food left. And, like, I knew this person did have food, but they actually just wanted to go get McDonald's. And this is where I'm saying, please practice discernment. Obviously, if someone doesn't have Kai, that's a different situation. But I knew this person did have Kai. They just didn't want to eat the Kai that was in their cupboard. And for a long time, I really struggled to have these money boundaries. And I was like, oh, that's sad. Like, I'll send money. And then I realized that by me doing that, I was literally paying for something for them that I never got myself. So, like, I had stopped eating takeaways at that point. Like, I wasn't spending my money on those things anymore. Yet I was paying for it for someone else to do. And that's, like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Now, I know for a fact that this person still asks people for money. They, like, every single week, asking so many different people for money. Because they haven't learned how to manage their money properly. It's not a service for me to just give them money. That doesn't help their situation. That just keeps them in the cycle of asking other people to pay for things for them. That doesn't teach them anything. What I have offered to do is help this person actually create a plan for their money, and they're not interested in doing that. And here's the thing. Not everyone is ready to get, like, to grow. And it's not our job to force, to push. People will move when they're ready. And for some people, that will be never. Some people will continually stay stuck in these, like, cycles of, like, chaos, of, like, they could be managing their money better, but they choose to stay in this. And it's, like, such a multifaceted, like, deeply layered thing of why people do this. And I can actually record a podcast episode if you guys are interested in this, on why people stay stuck in those cycles. But my point here is that it's not a service to that person to just give them money every time they run out of money because they haven't used a money plan. It is more of a service to actually say no and teach, like, explain to them, I'm saying no because I want you to figure this out. I want you to find a better solution. I want you to create a money plan. Offer to help them, right? Like, and this isn't your responsibility, but if you feel called to, offer to help them create a money plan, you know, or send them this podcast, like send them a podcast episode to support them so that they can, or any of my other podcast episodes. Like, giving them money doesn't fix the solution. Oh, doesn't fix the problem, sorry. So, the next thing that's really important in creating, like, how to actually uphold the money boundaries you have in your life. And one of the, like, key things in this is actually identifying what the hell your money boundaries are, right? So you can't set money boundaries if you don't know what they are. So what is a money boundary? A money boundary is a personal rule for how you use and protect your money. Now, to uphold your money boundaries, you need to know what these are. So I'm going to explain just a few different, like, ideas. And I actually want you to, like, have a think about this and take some notes in your phone of what your key money boundaries are. I think I actually, because I just kind of, I go by them in my head, but I'm going to bring up my phone because I remember writing a note of this a while ago of what my money boundaries were when I was struggling with this. I'm just going to see if they're in here, but I do have some notes of some other ones. So some other ones that I have seen is, like, I only give what I've already budgeted or, like, planned for koha. And this is something I actually do. So I have a certain account in my bank, and this is specifically for koha. And I put money every single week from my pay into that account. And if, like, so there's a certain amount that goes in there. And say, for example, a tangi comes up. I don't, like, want to, it's tricky. So sometimes, depending on the kaupapa, I, like, it's really important for me to give and to, like, give generously. And so there have been times where I'll, like, give everything that's in my koha accounts. And then other times I'm, like, mindful that, well, if something else pops up, I still need money in this account for that. And so I will give, like, a smaller portion of what's in that koha account. I don't, there's, like, different things. I can't remember the other copy, but there's one that's, like, accumulating. So, like, an account that's continually growing, and then an account that's just, like, what you use just to kind of keep going. As an example, your rent. That's not, if you were creating a rent account, that wouldn't be something that's necessarily accumulating. Like, you put, say if your rent is $400, you'd put $400 in that account, and every week $400 would go out, and it wouldn't necessarily grow. So that's kind of how my koha account goes. Like, it doesn't really grow because there's always things that I'm giving for. But that can be one example, is like you only give when you've already got that putia aside in your koha account. I did find my my money boundaries notes. Yeah, so one of the money boundaries I have also is I don't give loans to people. So if someone needs like my total call, and this is something that I've like changed, so I've definitely done it in the other way before. The reason why this changed was I realized that most of the people who I was giving loans to, one, they wouldn't give them back, and often this is because they've come to you because they can't get a loan from somewhere else. Like, and people generally can't get loans because they're not good at paying them back. So I don't give loans to people. If it is something that's important to me and it's something that I have the capacity to support, I will give putia towards it. But it won't be a loan. That's a money boundary that I have. Another one is, you know, I can't remember if it was, no, it wasn't in this one, is my emergency fund, my safety net, my success fund, whatever you want to call it, is for my emergencies, not for other people's. I learned this one the hard way. Number three, if I don't have money in a specific account for that thing, so I've got multiple accounts for different things in my life. So, like, there's a food account, there is a koha account, there is a vehicle account, there are, like, all of these different accounts, right? If I don't have money in that account, that means that I cannot afford it. So, and, like, here's the thing, right? If I really, really want something, I figure out how I can afford it. Like, I will go, like, oh, my gosh, how can I make more money for this? How can I save more money for this? But I'm meaning just, like, on a week-to-week basis. If someone asks me, do you want to go out to, like, should we go out for dinner or should we go on a holiday together? And I don't have that money in my fun account, then I will not do it. I won't borrow money from another account to do that thing. I just say no. And, like, I'm just so transparent on that. And here's the thing, like, some people are like, oh, I don't want to get judged. I don't want to. None of my friends would judge me for that. Like, I've got actually this other friend, like, she makes more money than me. And I ask her sometimes, like, should we go do blah, blah, blah? And she's like, oh, no, like, that's not something I can, you know, financially prioritize at the moment. And it's like, when you just normalize having these conversations, like, the world is so much easier. Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, like, how, like, stingy. Like, surround yourself with people you want to be like. Like, all of my friends now, they're just like, I love that. I love your transparency. I love that you're, like, just so thing about that. So those are some, I want you to think about the money boundaries that you have in your life and what money boundaries you want to create in your life. Now, how do you uphold these money boundaries? You've got to know your limits. You've got to understand your money plan and your capacity and your money boundaries. So what actually are they? And I want you to be so clear on that. So, like, do what I've done and, like, write it out in your notes app on your phone. Write it out on a piece of paper. What are your money boundaries? And I did this at the beginning because sometimes I would forget. And now it's just, like, second nature to me. So, like, say, for example, someone asked me for a loan. I just automatically say, like, I don't do that. And, like, if it's something, you know, I can see. But I know them now, and so it's so much easier for me to do it. Another one actually that just popped into my head is, you know, when, like, you are going out for, like, say a meal, and, or maybe, like, say it's like Uber, and, like, all of the stuff gets charged onto one card and people don't transfer the money back. I actually wrote about this in my book. How do you, like, go about asking that person for the money back if you're, like, feeling a bit like, or I, like, feel bad asking for the money, or, like, I don't know if I should do this, is actually just normalizing. If someone owes you money, you ask for it. Because sometimes, and this is where you get to lead with the most generous interpretation of other people, sometimes people forget. I am the first to admit, like, I actually forget things sometimes. So, like, if there's something there, like, let me know, because you can forget, right? So understand what your money boundaries are, be very specific, write a notes app, communication. This is where most people get tripped up, because this is where your emotions get tied into it, and it can be very difficult to like communicate what these are, because you're scared of getting judged, you're scared of you feel bad because you want to support but maybe you're not in a position to support. This is where we get to learn how to communicate. And I want you to, every single time a situation happens, I want you to even just plug into ChatGPT and ask ChatGPT how to communicate this. How to communicate in a way that is very clear, that explains your boundaries and explains, you know, that you don't always owe people an explanation, but you might feel like you want to. Use, like, be kind in it, be honest in it. And what I want you to do is write a note every single time you've upheld your money boundary and how you've communicated that, because you can reuse the same sentence structures, the same corded or every time you do this, so that it becomes easier. And like, use certain phrases. So for example, when people ask me for loans, I just say like, I'm sorry, I don't do loans. And like, that's something that just makes it so clear, so that there's no like, oh, why is she not doing it, or blah, blah, blah. It's like so simple. It's like, I don't do loans, you know, and there's no like thing there. It's just like, okay, that's her boundary. So I would create a list of like ways you can communicate it. And then the next bit, which is the hardest bit, is actually doing it, right? When you're first starting your money boundaries, when you're first starting this journey, it's going to be hard to stick to it. But what you've got to do is stay consistent and just keep on doing it. And over time, you're going to get better at it. So when I first started, it was so hard for me to say I don't do loans. Like, that was like, I felt horrible. I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But then over time, it's something that like is so much easier for me to do now. Now, how to kind of deal with this guilt and still just continue on this huarahi. Number one is to reframe the guilt as growth. You're not being selfish. Like, you are not being selfish by having money boundaries. Because when you are thriving, your whānau thrives. The more you have, the more you can give for longer. So you might be able to give $20 here and there because you're not upholding your money boundaries. But imagine actually being good with your money. And then you could actually give $2,000 to a co-papa that really, really matters to you. So you're basically, it's like instant and delayed gratification. You're sacrificing the instant gratification, because there's actually a benefit to just saying yes, 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 is that you don't have to have the hard conversation. You don't have to go through the temporary guilt of like, oh, I wish I could give like $20. Whereas you're saying yes to these small things when you're actually here to like create even bigger impact. And the more you fill your cup, the more that overflows, not only for you, your whānau, but for your iwi, your hapuri, like everyone is better when you're better with your money, right? That's like, yeah, I just want to like really reinforce that. Like, it's not selfish to be good with your pūtea. Everyone benefits when you are. And also it calls other people forward to create a better plan. And like, as that example, you know, my mum not giving me the car or not letting me buy it off her, it called me forward to do what was required. Some people, they won't be called forward. They're gonna just go ask other people for loans, and that's okay, because that's their journey and it's not your job to like save them. That's a little quoted or about setting money boundaries without feeling guilty. I hope that this podcast episode helped. I would really love it if you could share this podcast episode with someone who needs it, who just needs the support to set money boundaries. Share it on your story. If you could rate the podcast too, that would just mean the world to me. This just pushes the podcast out to so many more people. And the more people this podcast gets pushed out to, the more I can invest in this podcast, the more I can build high quality podcast episodes. I would really love it if you could total call the podcast in that way. That is all I'm asking for you. of you. But yeah, I'm so grateful for you being here today, for hearing my whakaro on setting money boundaries. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, our disclaimer, none of the information provided should be considered as financial advice. It is all general in nature. I am not a financial advisor. You should always do your own research and due diligence. And a full copy of the disclaimer is available in the description. That is us for today. I will talk to you all again next week. Ka kite.